this morning for, I think, a very happy reason, for a very good occasion for us this morning, a very joyous occasion that brings that about. And I'm very happy to be able to have a part in what we're doing today, what we're doing this morning. I'm going to make just a few brief comments, and then three men are going to make a statement before us in just a few moments. But I want to remind us that, or begin by saying that for some time now, our elders have received the names of several men to be considered for appointment to serve as deacons here at Black Creek. And let's say my happy assignment this morning is to have a small part in, I guess, what we could call their installation. I don't think we find that word in the Bible, but I think it's certainly not an improper concept at all, because they're going to begin that work, that special service, beginning today as serving as deacons here. And so we're going to formally recognize those individuals that this morning. I think it was about 3 weeks ago, maybe, that at the elders' request, and of course I was very happy to do so, that as names had been suggested to them, names had been presented to them, and out of that group, some names had been put in front of us for careful and prayerful consideration and looking at the qualifications of those who will serve as deacons. That we studied a lesson on the work and the qualifications of deacons. And I'm certainly not going to re-preach that lesson this morning, but maybe just a couple of things that we talked about would be well in order for us to think about just for a moment. When we look at what the New Testament teaches with regard to the work or the office of the deacon, we see that scripturally organized churches in the New Testament had elders and deacons. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, there Paul writes to the church at Philippi with its elders and with its deacons. We find that, that there are vital functions, vital works of service to be performed. And while we all, we're going to talk about that in our lesson in just a few minutes this morning, while all of us as Christians have responsibility to do all that we can in working and serving God, we see that deacons are appointed. I'm going to refer just for a moment to Acts chapter 6, again, just for a moment. We talked about that in some detail a few weeks ago. And whether or not those were actually the first officially appointed deacons or so on, I think if not, they were at least a precursor to that. And we find that they were designated to serve a particular task, to have particular roles that were assigned to them there. And so there are vital functions of service to be performed for the church to work, for local churches to be in, to do the work that God would have them to do. And so as we look at the qualifications of deacons, we looked at that and we saw the need for men who are sober-minded, men who are humble, men who are committed to service, to work, to the church, to work under the elders, and most importantly, to serve God in their lives. We saw that the word deacon is translated from a word that means to minister, to serve, to be a servant. And so, and it's no surprise at all to us who those three men are. We've been putting their names on the screen now for 2 or 3 weeks, and I was really hoping they would come up again this morning, but I have them written down right here. And so I'm going to call out again the names of those three individuals and then going to ask them if they would just to come forward and maybe make a brief statement. After they do that, I'm going to have another word or two to say, and then I'm going to call on someone to lead a prayer, and we'll begin with our lesson this morning. But it's a very satisfying, very pleasurable thing for me to be able to introduce, and in the order that they've been presented on the screen, to begin serving today as our deacons, to work along with Roger Key in serving in that function as deacons, are Matt Carter, Jeff Swindle, and Mike Wood. And so I'm going to call on them in that order if they would to come up and maybe have a few brief words, make a statement for us this morning. Matt.
Well, it's quite an honor to even be considered for this position, and I'd like to say thank you so much for my brothers and sisters, that you all are more like friends to me, that have given me so much encouragement and praise to even consider and to take on this new responsibility. And so I thank you. I thank you for your support. I thank my wife and my family for their support that they're giving and will be giving in the future. I'd ask that you please have patience, as this is something new for me. And I wish that we'd have a clear line of communication, that we could talk to one another. If needs arise and you see it, please let us know. But more importantly, if you notice or you have concerns with my qualifications ever in the future, you would definitely be my friend if you come and speak with me about it, because some things I might have overlooked. So as we move forward, I would please ask for your prayers and your patience and your encouragement. Thank you again.
Yeah, what he said. No, I mean, seriously, that's really what I wanted to say too. But I got to thinking also before I got up here, where in Acts 6 they did select those men, you know, when there was a problem, you know, the Hellenists were complaining to, you know, the Hebrew women, the widows and all, for being neglected. And I read that, how they selected these 7 men, the 12 here, and to serve those needs, and so the elders and guys like that would not be hindered. They need to stay with the spiritual issues. And when I read that, it really makes it a honor. I mean, I feel humbled, because you know, here I'm being considered like these guys were. You know, I almost don't feel worthy, to be honest with you. I mean, I guess I'm hard on myself, you know. I mean, we all have our issues, I guess, but I'm going to try real hard. I'm going to work hard, and I am really thankful to even be considered. And I'm thankful for the whole congregation, not just to the elders, but the whole congregation, for not having any objections. And if you do, like Matt said, please don't be afraid or anything to approach me. If you see I'm not performing like I should, not doing things like I should, if there's an issue, please, please let me know. I'll be a friend. There's no issue there. So I want to thank every one of you for this consideration.
Along with what Jeff was saying, I read Acts 6, and it was really just something about reading about the first, what we believe to be the first deacons. Of course, I had a whole note. I'm just going to sit here and read the whole thing, but I'm going to work on this. I was just so impressed with Stephen's boldness. He was one of the first deacons. Philip, known as Philip the Evangelist. Not, you know, there was Philip who was one of the apostles, but this was a separate Philip. He was known as Philip the Evangelist. Well, things were really hectic in Jerusalem, and you know, angry crowds and mobs. And of course, that's where Stephen, you know, he was stoned to death. He was the first martyr. But shortly after that, you know, Philip here, a recent convert, shortly after the Pentecost, him and a lot of Jews fled Jerusalem, and they went off into Samaria. But he preached all the way. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't an elder. He was just a deacon. But he preached all the way as they fled to Samaria. And just to say something about Philip's qualities is, as they were fleeing, he was even preaching to the Samaritans, which were the old enemies of the Jews, just to say something about, you know, Philip himself. But while they were in Samaria, there was mass conversion, you know, a real revival, if you will. But he was called away by God to go meet a stranger, is the Ethiopian eunuch. I didn't know that, but I was so amazed. But here was this stranger on the side of the road, reading Isaiah 35, I think it was. And he helped him understand that everything that Isaiah had prophesied had come true. And in order to do that, I guess he had to have knowledge of the Bible, which really makes me, because I've been in restaurants and stuff and I see people reading the Bible, but I don't know what to say to them. But, you know, it's just, I learned a lot from reading that. But also, he was over this big revival, and he started all this. But he left his ego behind to go talk to this one stranger. And that really impressed me, that somebody could just walk away, you know, from something like that. But I'm thankful for this opportunity, and I'm studying hard. I'm learning each day, and I know y'all be behind me. Got my family behind me. But I'm real thankful. This is about the only family I've ever really had that makes me feel good. You know, a lot of people don't know a lot about me, but I grew up in a real rough situation. And it's been rough for me a long time until I met my Black Creek family. And I really feel at home, supported, and loved here. And I'll do my best not to let anybody down. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
When our elders approached me about what we were going to do this morning, that these men were going to, you know, make a statement to us, I said, well, you know, being apt to teach, you know, public speaking is not necessarily one of the qualifications for a deacon, but I don't think any of those three fall short at all in that area. I think the statements that we just heard speak so well to the kind of men, the qualifications, the humility, and the commitment that they have to serve here as deacons. And it's certainly, again, a happy thing for us to be able to recognize them as such this morning. We are, again, thankful for their willingness and for their humility, their commitment, and certainly so thankful to God that we have men here who are willing to serve in that capacity. I'm going to ask Dan Knowles, if you would, to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.